Three, two, one.
Sorry. What's good, Flagler Hall listeners and Clean Sheet listeners? Welcome back. You're listening to your favorite podcast. Oh, my video's off. You're listening to your favorite podcast. It's a Clean Sheet where we break down the best in world football. Look, the past couple of weeks have been fantastic. We've had a lot of guests on and shit. But I can't tell you how happy I am to have the OG boys back. And no, that does not mean Mono, apparently, because, you know, apparently Mono's AWOL. But Mono, if you're listening to this right now, reach out. You know what I mean? We want you to be here. So with that being said, this is now the eighth iteration. I hope you guys checked out last week's episode with Olu and Jeremy. If you didn't, please go ahead and check it out. We had a lot of talk about more transfer talk, the Gold Cup, the CONCACAF, and everything that happened then. So actually, in a bit of a follow-up to there, we're not actually going to talk about it. The USA did actually go ahead and win the CONCACAF. So with that being said, it's time to introduce the people that need no introduction. Rio the Dio. What's going on, God?
Nothing much, bro. You know, Kareem just out here, you know, being Kareem. But we're going to have a good episode today discussing many different things. And hope you guys check out our other podcasts and everything, you know, at Flagler Media. And can't wait to get started.
I'm going to ask her. You guys might not hear it. You might not see it at the end of the cut. And I hope you guys check out the end of every episode, because I always like to leave a little something there for y'all. If Kareem lets me let in what I want for this episode, it was the funniest shit ever. Oh, my God. All right. The deadlifting demon is back from his hiatus. What's going on, Kareem?
What's up, creamy listeners? Y'all staying wet?
All right, bro.
And no, the answer to your question is no.
No. Then how is it the creamy shit, yo?
Exactly.
That's not today's episode. That's on a different website. Nope.
Oh, nope. No. Yeah, anyways, this is where we end the podcast.
Probably. And with him as well, hopefully, if she's willing to. We have a great guest. We have Ari the Ferrari making her first appearance.
Hey.
What's going on, Ari?
Happy to be here.
I have one quick question. How much soccer do you know?
Negative.
All right. So more than Rio. All right. Perfect.
I'm just throwing shots, huh?
No.
What's your favorite team?
Yeah, go on.
Okay. The only one I know because of him.
Canceled. Well, that's perfect. So we have a nice packed house for a packed episode. And I mean, we got to set the alarms off from some funny shit to some real serious shite. Over the week, probably the biggest news of the transfer season, but arguably the biggest news of like the last decade. The greatest Argentine player of all time is leaving Barcelona. He's leaving the Camp Nou. And while it looks like PSG is confirmed, we're going to talk mostly just about the first part of that, where, you know, the fact that he's leaving. It's big. I mean, we've been talking about it for a while now, but it looked like it was set in stone. He was coming back, right? I mean, that's what me, Rio, Kareem, we all thought. It was pretty much set in stone. He's coming back. He's going to take the wage cut. And last minute, the rug was pulled under. I remember I saw it earlier in the day when we got the news articles about those rumors. And I was like, no, that's just bait. Like, he's going back. But got confirmed a couple hours later. And Rio, he's gone.
He truly is, you know. What more is there to say? But I think in this case, it actually isn't Barcelona's fault necessarily. Although, like, you know, their wage finances and everything, you know, it is. But apparently it's La Liga who actually blocked the move in general due to the finances and everything and the wage bill that Barca holds. And they can't hold that into the league just for, like, having a salary cap. So Messi's gone just because of that. No, he even took a 50% pay cut off his thing just to stay, and they blocked the transfer completely. It's a sad departing for, like, you know, both sides, Barcelona and Messi. But, you know, to be honest, it might just be for the best and for the worst, depending on what side of football you lie on for Messi. But for Champions League, it's gonna be quite a story next season.
Yeah, and I want to, before we go back on that, you know, Kareem had a very genius point that I wanted to point out, because it seems like I've given a lot of shit to the tyrant that is Florentino, but he may have been playing 3D chess with this move. Kareem, you want to?
So I saw some reports say that Florentino told Barca, the presidents back then, that they could offer any wages to the players through the Super League. And then he probably knew that this shit wasn't going through, bro. So he just fucked Barcelona and forced them to sell. Because La Liga, they were upset because Barcelona, they went away from the CVC with La Liga, the contract.
Yeah.
So then that's why they blocked the trade. Not the trade. They blocked the cut wage. But a 50% cut wage, I just got to say this. 50%, what did he make? 168 million, I think, per year. It's not a big pay cut, dog.
I mean, look, I agree, bro. I agree. But my opinion is, because a lot of people were saying, well, why doesn't Messi just play for free? And Barcelona, if they really have any honor, the way that the Lakers did with Kobe back in 2013 when he broke his ankle, and he clearly wasn't good anymore, but the Lakers still offered him a lot of money because of, like, the honor of the team. But the thing is, it's not even about the money, I think, with Messi. I mean, I'm sure he was willing to play to an extent almost for free, but it's like, even if he stayed for free, were Barcelona going to win anything even with Messi? Not. I don't like the chances of that. So it's like, I get it. To me, it hurts. And I hope it's not the direction of football, but like, Messi, he's going to be playing with now probably Mbappe and Neymar. And that's probably, I mean, look, I get Suarez is probably better than Mbappe is. But that's like right up there already without a game even played, without them three on the pitch already. That's already like top three, best front three all time.
I agree. Well, Suarez at his current peak is better than, and well, not at his current
peak. Like Suarez in that MSN era was obviously better than Mbappe, right?
Well, yeah, proven because we have the stats, but you know, we'll see how they fare in the next two seasons that Messi's there and if Mbappe stays as well for the next two.
Yeah, I mean, bro, I remember when we were texting in the chat about it when we first broke it through. At first, it sounded like it was that this was a lot of La Liga's retaliation and them kind of going to Barcelona and being like, you can either have Messi or the Super League. And I remember when I first said it's obviously not true anymore, but I said at first that if Barcelona chose the Super League over Messi, that might go down as one of the worst moves. Not just in club football history, but like sports, like it's terrible to see. And we probably will talk about the Super League a little bit because we weren't on air when the Super League was going on. And I know we all felt similarly about it. But like, to me, when I look at this, I think the person to blame the most is obviously Bartomeu, bro. You know, he sunk the ship, and Laporta has done everything to yo, you're so canceled, bro. He's done everything to put the shit back on track. But I mean, I just want to hear what Kareem has to say after what you just said in the chat. So, what do you?
Just excited to talk about soccer. Really, I missed last episode. It hurt my heart, especially having Jeremy as a guest.
Why is this man talking like cars?
I hope the streaming listeners are listening.
Are you gonna talk about football at all?
Oh yeah. You know, as sad to say, 17 years, the era of Messi. I low key think, you know, I hate Barcelona with all my heart, but I think it's good now because he is 34, and they got to start looking back into the youth. Because even if he was there for 2-3 more years, I still don't think they weren't competing for champions. So I think it was a good – it's like when Ronaldo left. Like, he left us. I still think Zinedine Zidane leaving us was even more tragic. We went through, like, I want to say 4 managers in one season. But I think it's good for Barcelona and for Messi because Messi, after winning his international trophy, he can – I feel like with 1 or 2 more – because if he wins the league in France, that doesn't mean shit for his career. I don't give a fuck. But if he wins 1, 2 more Champions League, like, there's no debate between Ronaldo and Messi anymore. So I think it's good for both parties.
I think, yeah, I agree. For neutral, obviously, me personally, I never want to see this. For neutral, I think it would have been best for his career to go to City, actually. I think people always bring up the fact that Ronaldo's won a Premier League, and that's like supposed to be the best league in the world, and he has it in his cabinet, and Messi doesn't. You know, like now, if you were to go ahead and go with Pep, win a Premier League, maybe obviously even win the Champions with City over PSG now, it's going to mean a lot more. Like, obviously, in football, there's no such thing yet as like a Mickey ring, but like this could be the first Mickey Cup. Like, honestly, like if PSG steamroll like United in 5-0 in the final, people are going to call this a Mickey Cup, and it's going to be sad to hear, but like, are they wrong?
Not really. I like, well, they're like, if it's like United, then yeah. But like, if it's like, if they get through like a really like hard like group of sides, like to be honest, so like, you know, it could be like your Man City's, your Bayern's, things like that. Some unexpected picks, like even like Borussia Dortmund as like, you know, around the 16 game, like, you know, do that sort of progression. I don't think it would be a Mickey Mouse thing. I still think that side needs to gel with each other, and they're all going to be challenging each other, because like position wise we really don't know how they're going to set up. Are they going to do like a three back? Are they doing a four back? Like, we're really going to see how the season progresses with them and how they gel with each other, because this is going to be their first season with Messi, and Messi's going to want that ball and stuff like that. I don't know like how well like that front three is going to be able to balance each other out, so who knows.
Yeah
I don't know, so, if you can I don't know if you can necessarily call it Mickey. Because we see this trend in all sports. Like, now we see it in basketball. We see, like, the super teams, just everyone's forming. So I think this will be the way that the sports are just going now. We're, like, in the era where, like, so many players are considered great that you can't even be upset about super teams anymore.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. But, like, I think we mentioned it last time. It's, like, if you look at every sport now, it's, like, the Dodgers just got Scherzer and Turner. And, you know, then you got the Nets and the Lakers and, you know, PSG now. It's like, you know, is it getting a bit much? But
I heard from a very reliable source that Lionel Messi was close to signing with the Lakers.
Westbrook to Messi, the law. That's true. But I think in terms of silver lining, I mean, Rio kind of pointed it out, but, you know, it fast tracks the Barcelona rebuild, and you know, it's tough to see. I know one of the scenarios that were playing out, and this would have been very interesting. And obviously you'd never want to do this, because Messi's obviously not going to take 2 years off in the middle of his prime, well, not middle of his prime, but back end of his prime. But like, people were calling for him to like retire until Barcelona got in shape. And I was just like,
that's stupid.
Why would he wait around for this club that hasn't done anything smart the last 12 years? But I mean, so I guess we pretty much are all on the same page, right? PSG, that's where he's going. Yeah. I mean, I didn't include him in the transfer sheet, because really it's not confirmed. Same with Lukaku. He's technically not confirmed yet, but by next episode.
He got confirmed today.
Did he? By Fabrizio?
Yeah, Fabrizio confirmed that it's 95 mil.
No, okay. Well, I guess we could leave that for next episode. But either way, I mean, Messi to PSG is it's sad to see. And Rio, I know you're obviously the biggest Barca fan here, but, you know, what does it mean? Finally, put the last touches on it, on what this means.
Well, it means that the club can finally rebuild and move on, to be honest. So I touched on this last episode about how Real Madrid got rid of Ronaldo, and they already started the rebuild. And I said that Barca would be way later than that, because they wouldn't get rid of Messi yet. And that happened. So
Guess they're listening. They could be listening.
Well, you know, hit us up if anything. But I just think that it's not the worst move for them. Like, it's a big, big blow. But, you know, I think that, just as Kareem said, that gives them a lot. A better chance to rebuild their youth system and everything, you know, go back to their roots, see what they can produce again.
Yep. New era for Barcelona, and this pretty much means Atletico have won La Liga. So
we can chill. Real Madrid still have a fighting chance.
Okay. Gotcha. Well, with that being said, it's time to move on to Rio's favorite segment, my favorite segment. What are we doing, Rio? It's time for a look at the what?
The transfer sheet.
transfer sheet.
Let's go. It's time for a look at the transfer sheet part three. We got a lot to discuss. This is actually probably like the most expensive transfer sheet we talked about. Yeah, this is definitely it. And it starts with the main man, the most expensive British transfer of all time until Lukaku came around. So that lasted like 2 days. And it's Jack Grealish, finally confirmed. Villa to City. Big, big deal. This is 100 million. They actually already had the Twitter warriors on him since they lost to Leicester in the Community Shield. So they're already calling him a flop. But, you know, it's going to take time for Grealish to gel. And I saw Guardiola talk about it, which is very interesting. He said that he was definitely exploring options for him to play as a nine, which is really an interesting thought. And I think that's the way – I mean, I'm going to – I'll let Rio talk about it, but I definitely think the price tag, you know, we talked about it before, how the price tag is obviously inflated, but if you were to come out as a nine and fill the gap where they probably won't get it now with Kane staying put, it'll make this transfer very, very much worth it. So what do we think?
Yeah, I think that Pep is really just trying to run back the Barca days.
He is. This team. Yeah. Like, he just needs the Messi.
He's like, fuck it, English Messi. With Grealish and throwing him at like the false nine, saying it's gonna work, trust me, you're gonna ball out.
Work.
But like, that's to right. be honest, I'm not really too sure if that would really work because I'm still kind of confused on how they're gonna like line everyone up. I think they actually need an actual number nine, and yep. I think Kane is like what they like. I don't know how like they went for Grealish first before Kane, but you know, if Kane stays put, like you know, their side doesn't look bad. They're pretty much linked with Lautaro Martinez, but I don't know if that's really going through yet. But
not bad,
you know. I personally think 100 mil is still way too much money for him. And yeah. I didn't peep the Community Shield, but I heard his performance was all right. To be honest, I wouldn't say it was terrible. It was like everyone's like saying it's a flop. It's his first fucking game for them against Leicester, which is not an easy side at all. So, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean.
Draw for a little bit and then see if it's really a flop.
No, definitely. I mean, but I think they needed the nine. I mean, if you were going to spend 100 mil, the 100 mil should have been going to Tottenham. And I mean, Villa have repurposed that money very well already. They've made two signings, which is the two we're going to talk about in a second, but they've already repurposed their money, in my opinion, more shrewdly than City have, because 100 million now for Grealish means that they're up to about like what, 900 million over the last 5-6 seasons.
24 off a bill,
huh?
The 24 million off of a billion.
That's yeah. It's ridiculous.
Zero Champions League trophies.
And no Champions League trophies. as much shit as I give Real Madrid for, how much money did they spend in those 3 years that they won those three cups? Not much. The squad stayed intact. For me, I think this is a move that it's going to take time to gel, but even if it does gel, unless Grealish fills the number nine hole that's in the squad, I don't think it's going to be that impactful.
I agree. So,
I feel like this signing, though, is much of Pep's new football. We've seen the Phil Foden, who's playing right wing, playing cam, playing striker, the Ferran Torres, even sometimes the Mahrez. I think this is just a new way of, like, how Pep's trying to play his football. So people are going to say them not signing Harry Kane for 100 is a bad move, but we saw what they did in the end of last Premier League. So I'll say this is going to be an interesting one. It's either going to flop hard or it's going to pay off really well. This is like a big gamble, I'll say.
Yeah, I you know what you said a name there, which definitely is going to be, I think, the most interesting City player this year is going to be Ferran for sure, because he's taken that leap during the Euros, right? And I think now the expectation is for him to be playing first team football on a consistent basis. And if he can fill the number nine gap that he's filled for Spain in a way, I think he's the player to look at for City, even more than a guy like De Bruyne, who you know what we're going to get out of him. You know what you're going to get out of the Gundogans, the Mahrez. And, you know, I just think for me, Ferran Torres, this is the chance for him. If he's going to be the guy to fill Messi's void in the Pep system, I think this is the season for him. So, yeah. Yeah, yeah, big. So let's talk about the two transfers then that Villa repurposed their money very, very smartly. They went ahead and spent 29 mil to get Leon Bailey, the Jamaican striker, well, pseudo winger, but 29 million for him, as well as they sent 32 million over to Southampton for Danny Ings. These are two attacking minded players that, I mean, put together should realistically fill the hole that Grealish has left. These are two very good players. Leon Bailey obviously has the higher upside, but Ings is a proven goal scorer. I mean, two seasons ago, he was what? I believe like he was like 34 goals. He had like 34 goals in his last two seasons combined and 41 goals in the last three seasons, which is that's proven. That's pretty absolutely ridiculous proven.
For a guy who's been playing on like the mid-table sides and stuff.
Yeah, and a stat here that I actually had, which is actually also crazy. In 2019, he had 62% of his shots on targets were goals. That was higher than Messi, Mbappe, and Ronaldo. So he's clinical. Mm-hmm. He's really, really clinical. So what do we think about these transfers?
I think they're great, to be honest. You know, you repurposed that money for Jack Grealish, and they already brought Emiliano Buendia as well. So, like, you have a creator who can defend and also attack, and then you have two out and out, you know, someone who can play winger and striker with the Leon Bailey. And he might get you goals and assists, but he's definitely driving at the fences almost like Adama Traore does a lot. He wants that ball and he's going to try cutting in, get a shot off. Pretty powerful, pretty pacey as well. And Danny Ings, as you said, is a proven goal scorer. So they're going to be a threat, you know, next Everton type beat.
Yeah, that sucks.
My Jamaican man, dude, the man is beautiful. I used him in FIFA. World class. Yeah. Like his team of the season, bro. No, I'm kidding. But these two transfers, bro, they're going to put much bigger numbers than Jack Grealish. Obviously, it's two people, but when you're getting 100 mil for one player and you can buy these two players for what, half of what you got paid, I think it's amazing. But Aston Villa, the problem I have, Danny Ings is somewhat of a leader, but I feel like Jack Grealish, like, he had more trust. He's going to have to – Danny Ings, if he really wants to, like, change the team, he's going to have to try to do what Jack Grealish did, because you look at the squad right now and there's no out-and-out, like, leader. And Jack Grealish was that leader. He did bring that up. He was their free kick taker. He was their corner taker. So I think they're still missing a little bit, but you can't really expect much from Aston Villa, so we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I think the idea here from Villa is maybe that Bailey will be that guy, but he's probably not ready yet. So I think this season, Ings will take him over the hump. And then as the time goes, Bailey might become that guy for this team. I mean, he had 9 goals, 8 assists in 30 matches played last season, which I don't think is bad, as well as 50 key passes. He needs to improve on his dribbles for sure. He only has 57% success rate, but I don't know. I saw... From what I did see of him, now I'm not calling him this guy, but I think he definitely kind of reminds me a little bit of like a Kingsley Coman, in the way that if his success in dribbling and taking on defenders were to improve a little bit, he could kind of become that explosive player. But I think he's the guy that they're going to look at more so than Ings to be the leader. So he's got to get loud in the locker room and really get these guys going, because it's going to get tough in the mid table, as we're going to talk about later. So. Big transfer. But with that being said, we also had another big transfer, and that was from PSV over to Borussia Dortmund, 27 million for Daniel Malen. And this was a big one. In my opinion, I think out of the transfers today, this might have been the most shrewd one. He has looked good as well. And now Borussia Dortmund, once again, they always do it. Some big club is linked with like a world beater. And they don't even overspend, and they end up getting the player. So this is just going to be another player that's going to perform in a couple seasons. They'll triple their investment off of this player, probably.
Yep, pretty much. You know, Dortmund's just notorious for that. Get the youngest players, develop them, give them good Champions League experience. They do well, and bang, that's the easy 100 mil that you just made.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, no, yeah, this guy had 19 goals, 8 assists. Last season, he had 2.21 shots on target per 90. He's a speedy, he's a clinical finisher. You know what I mean? I think this is the player that he's going to be sitting next to the highly touted Haaland, and he's kind of going to be that foil that, he's going to be less of the target man per se, but maybe linking up with Haaland and making that relationship. Striker. Yeah, absolutely. So,
It's a big, like big transfer. I like that transfer a lot.
Mark my word. Work. In 3 years, Bayern gonna pay three times that.
I wouldn't mind it. Lewandowski's getting old, and maybe that's his time. Maybe his time's coming. But what do you think about the transfer?
I think it's good, like you said, like Rio said. They just always pick up this for cheap, and then they flip it. It's like a reseller, if you think about it. I'm gonna buy this pair of shoes. I'm going to hold on to it for the market. Then I'm going to resell for four times. I think he did really good last season. He got a couple FIFA cards. He's going to win it.
If for y'all who don't know, Kareem, where'd you end in last year in FIFA? A regional top 100, or was it?
This year we sucked, but the year before, we finished 63rd in the world. This year we only did regional.
Oh, okay.
Well, MLB The Show is where it's at now, boy.
Go ahead and follow the Not Made Yet Twitch, and you'll see a lot of, you know, we got Kareem over there probably. He'll be working overtime. We'll get in that GeForce sponsorships, all that. You know what I mean? So
we'll get the Playboy.
Yo, yeah.
I'm waiting for the Gucci.
why you go to the Playboy all of a sudden, bro?
All I know is if you're listening to this right now and you missed me last episode, leave a download.
yo, he's got off the rails, bro. Well, either way, big transfer, and you know, I think it's good for Dortmund. Maybe makes a push towards the title. I doubt it, but there's a chance. From there is, if I have to say it, I'm going to say a blasphemous take, but you know, I got to spice it up. Boubacary Samar, he has just come over from Leicester from Lille, the champions of France, for $19 million, not dollars, euros. From what I saw, I didn't watch a lot of this Lille team last year, but I did my homework this past weekend. This guy is going to be the next Wilfred Ndidi, the next N'Golo Kante, bro. He looks fantastic, bro. He looked so good. He's kind of that player that cleans up everything in front of the back four. He had an 87.5% pass completion rate in the last four seasons combined. And those seasons were where he was 19 years old, 20 years old, 20, 21 years old, and 22. This is what a guy is doing, all right? And he had 40 interceptions, which is third in his team, 47 tackles, one. This guy can ball, bro. Look up his highlights, bro. I'm telling you, Leicester once again have done it. They let go of Conte, and they brought in Ndidi. They let go of Conte, or you know, they brought in a lot of those same like-minded players. Here he is, the next in the heritage.
I don't think it's a bad signing at all. I think it's actually pretty good, just as you said. I wouldn't say it's the next Conte just yet. He's a little too young for that. And I haven't seen his highlights or anything, but I was just checking his stats and everything, and he doesn't look bad at all. He definitely looks like he can definitely pass a lot better probably than Conte, and probably is a little bit more dribbling, controls the midfield a little bit better for his age. But I think that we should wait to see like how he does in the Prem and everything, because that was like League One, in my opinion, at least. And I think the Prem might definitely play a little bit faster for him. And if he gets the starts as well, next to Ndidi, or who plays with each other, how Rodgers wants to set that up.
It's true. I mean, he looks good, though. And I mean, Leicester always know, they always know how to spot a good, hardworking midfielder. And I think that's the thing about his game that's going to have to be improved, is becoming more of the box-to-box if he's going to make that full-on transition. But in my opinion, he's more than halfway there. And he looks good. He looks strong. This is a good transfer for under 20 million. So
yeah.
Kareem, what'd you think?
I just think, to be honest, with that name, Boubacary Soumaré. Oh, I can just hear myself yelling it, bro. You're born for destiny. Like Boubacary, bro. Boubacary Soumaré.
Oh my God.
I haven't really heard of him. I'll take your word. Maybe he can be a next N'Golo or a shittier version of Ndidi. But I don't know. I just really like that name, Boubacary Soumaré. It just sounds like it should be in a drill rap song.
Oh. Oh my God, yeah. Yo, I mean, I can see it, bro. I can see it, and I really wanted to have Olu here for this episode to wow, have him rave great. About
Olu and Bukari, dog.
What do you mean?
Olu was gonna be like, I don't know who that waste man is.
But... yeah, I just wanted to see him call him a farmer.
He's a farmer.
He's a farmer. You know what I mean? So there's levels to this, you know. So so that's I think it's a big transfer. I really do. And he's obviously not as big of a name yet as the guy we're talking about next. And he has a big pretty name. The pretty man. The shrewd operator, Olivier Giroud. the go-kart. The go-kart.
If only, yeah. I wanted to see a video of that.
Yeah. And then France got bounced. Maybe it's because Olivier wasn't playing.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
The man always has a screamer every year, bro.
He does. Man. He does. And I can't wait for it to be against Juventus and Ronaldo this year. Because he's going from Chelsea to AC Milan for under $1 million. That's savvy business.
Pizza, I think that is as well. Like, to be honest, I actually missed Giroud. You know, like if you ask me, would I rather take Erling Haaland or like, you know, Lionel Messi at like fucking Chelsea? I'm taking Giroud back at his prime. I'm sorry. Yo. Like that man is just it's just perfect. You know, like I miss him already. Like the fact that he's already gone.
I understand what Rizzo's saying. The man is a stud. Man's exactly. Hot. Man is sexy.
He's we all aspire to be
on and Andrew. Off the pitch, yo. On and off the pitch. Like I wish I could be him. I'm sorry.
And I mean think about it. I mean, he's going from he's born in France. He went to England, right? But now he's going to the city of he's going to the country of the Italian women. So he's living.
I swear, if he wasn't married, bro, like the man's ratio would be crazy.
Oh no, we need Ari in this, bro. Too much.
She's right here, yo. You're a creep. Show Ari a picture.
Yeah, show her a picture of Olivier Giroud.
And what does she think?
We'll see if she stays there.
Live reaction.
Yeah. Okay, so just for you guys that can't see the screen, we're right now getting Ari to show a picture of Olivier Giroud.
What do you think? Pretty hot, right?
Yeah.
he looks like
the guy from the dad from Outer Banks, kind of.
So he's hot too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, so y'all who get that reference, you know, what I mean, that's mm-hmm. That's big.
I'm back from Broward today. I'll see yeah. You there.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, Olivier Giroud, he's cute, but is his football skill still up to par though? If we're being serious, I think for this Milan squad that definitely doesn't have title aspirations anymore, the players they've lost. But they still should have top four ambition, right? And so I think this is a player that he's proven across Europe to an extent, as much as we like to joke about it. And the point is they've practically got him for free. You know, he'll always get you that one or two important goals throughout the season that you're like, wow, okay. You know, we know you can't perform week in, week out, but you gave us that one goal that we needed against Atalanta or Napoli. So he'll show up. And I mean, for free, this is good value business.
Exactly. Shout out Milan.
Sometimes you don't need a Ferrari, you know, you don't need an F1. You just need
a go-kart.
You just need the go-kart to take you to the bus stop. So
from point A to B, baby.
Yeah, to point A to B. If it gets you there, it gets you there. So that's what Giroud is. So. What do we think about it? I mean, Rio, this is the man. You know, you guys have made some. I don't think you guys have made profit off this trade, obviously, or transfer, obviously. But I mean, what does it mean now that he's gone?
I think it just means we've lost our most experienced striker at the club, and obviously, you know, we are getting Lukaku, who is linked. We'll talk about that next episode. We have Werner, but there was nothing like that Giroud goal against the Atletico to get us that win at the Wanda Metropolitano.
I remember that. Holy shit.
And
get your goal like that, yeah.
And don't forget that Giroud in the Europa League in our season with Sarri actually was top scorer as well. If people forget that, like, he just had great seasons, to be honest, you know. when no one was showing up, Giroud did, like, and Chelsea fans, like, heavily appreciated him no matter what. No one called him a donkey. They're like, that's a styling right there. I'm sorry, he's just a goat.
He is definitely up there in terms of Premier League banter goats. He's made a case for himself. And, I mean, he's one of those players that, you know, if you're down 3-0, but he gets the goal and it's 3-1, all of a sudden you feel better about the game. You know what I mean? It's, like, yeah. It's fine, bro. We'll move on. But he's a locker room guy. He's one for the boys and the gals. So big move for Giroud, and I honestly wish him the best in Milan. I think he'll be big. So from there, we have another goalkeeper moving on. It's been the transfer for a lot of big keepers, and it seems like Rui Patricio, who had a very good Euros, in my opinion, is on the move. He's gone from Wolves to Roma for a 10 million fee. And this is another step in Rui Patricio's career now. And I think for Wolves now, if they want to maybe go ahead and snag up the Navas, I don't know if a club like Wolves is below Navas, but... you know, there's a vacancy spot there for a big keeper. You know, there's definitely Navas out there. So for Roma, I mean, they needed the keeper. Alisson obviously left a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, this fills that spot.
Yeah, I think Jose Mourinho's trying to build this little team, you know, to challenge, to get that those top four spots in Italy. And I think not a bad piece of business to get it done already. You know, he's already made a couple signings and everything, a couple loan signings. And I think they're actually linked to Tammy Abraham as well. He's actually trying to, you know, give a little push to see what's up in Roma. So we'll see how they do this season with having a new keeper like him who did pretty well last season. And during his Euros was a really good as well, especially that France-Portugal game where he made that amazing save against Pogba. And a double save with Griezmann on the follow-up. Yeah. So,
oh my goodness.
Pretty memorable.
Yeah, he's still at the top of his game. He's still a class keeper. And, again, it's going to be interesting to see what Mourinho does. I think if they can get top four, that's big. That's big. That's huge. So, you know, we got Karim over here taping. I don't even know what this guy's doing.
Rui Patricio signing, bro. Always showing his class.
What in the world?
Anyways, to continue
on. but talking about Jose Mourinho, let's talk about the club he left, and that's Tottenham. Another guy who's leaving Tottenham is Toby Alderweireld. This is the end of an era for a lot of Tottenham fans. And, you know, he's going to Al Duhail SC. I believe that's a club in Qatar. And he surprisingly left for 12 million, which is good money for Tottenham to take back for a guy of his quality. So 12 million, you know, I think obviously we're not going to be talking so much about where the club he left to, but what does it mean for Tottenham? So
I think it just means good business for Tottenham. I feel like Vertonghen and what's it called?
Sanchez.
Yeah. Like, I know Alderweireld is like those two, those are just old guard for them, to be honest. They've had some pretty low seasons, you know, they're not at their peak anymore, especially when they're challenging for like the title against Leicester. I think that was like one of their biggest moments for sure when they came in the second.
Yeah.
They're coming up pretty big, but nowadays, you know, they're not like too potent on the clean sheet. Not the guys on the clean sheet, I mean the team sheet, my bad.
I was about to say that's a fire pun.
Yeah. Unintended. But It just be like that, to be honest. You know, they get a little older, and especially like their performances for Belgium weren't like too solid either. So honestly, to get 12 million for him when he's like 30 something, like, you know, it's pretty good business, to be honest. And especially like, I don't know why he's going to Qatar out of all places, but you know, have fun and get your money, I guess.
Yeah.
Go back to Belgium, bro. Like, all right.
Yeah, well, Tottenham instantly repurposed that money for a lot more of an exciting player, and that's Christian Romero from Atalanta, who went to Tottenham for 52 million. So this is obviously going to be probably the guy who ushers in the new age for Tottenham, but, you know, not bad, 90.5 pass completion rate, and his long ball, which is really, really impressive. Most of the time you see a center back's passing completion drop off as it gets to that long pass section, which is obviously like about 10 yards or more. His only drops off to 85%, which is great. That's really good. So I mean, he needs to improve his ball control for sure. He does get dispossessed in some pretty bad areas, but you know, it's Atalanta. They hold a high line, so I would assume it'll change now. Obviously, with Tottenham's system now, they play a little bit more organized, a little bit more not smart, but like a little less all guns blazing. And so this is going to be a big move. We talked earlier about you know, Rio talking about Grealish is going to be a big gamble. I think it was Kareem actually said Grealish is going to be one of those big gamble moves that it's like you either fail or you win. This is another one, I think, because Tottenham have used up a lot of their money for this particular transfer, which is a little bit left field considering that until about last week, they obviously must have been moving like they knew Kane was going to leave. Mm-hmm. And so to spend $52 million on a center back is a big, big deal. So Christian Romero, big, big transfer.
I agree.
Yeah. Kareem, what do you think? $52 million for Christian Romero.
That transfer value? I think I could go for a solid $6 million. No? Less? More? No, I'm kidding. I think it's good for Tottenham. They really never have a stable back line, whether it's injuries, shithousery. You never know with Tottenham, but I think $52 million. He hasn't, at least from what I saw, he hasn't proven $52 million. With inflation, I guess. So I think, like you said, this is a make it or break it. Like, it's a high gamble, $52 million for Christian Romero. So we'll just have to wait and pan out and see how it pans out.
Yeah, it's gonna be tough to see, but I mean, ultimately for Tottenham, they're sinking. So you know, when you're sinking, you try to grab onto anything, and hopefully this is maybe the move that continues their run to be above Arsenal. But who knows nowadays. It's a big move. Last transfer we got to talk about. You know, I got to show love. Que lo que to my Dominicans. Junior Firpo went from Barcelona over to Leeds for $14 million. I saw it being talked about a little bit. You know, for Barcelona, I think this is pretty good money to get back considering how bad the finances were. I mean, he's a strong and athletic fullback. You know, he's a decent chance creator, but he needs to severely improve as a two-way fullback because, I mean, he's definitely defensively suspect. But for Leeds, that works. I mean, Leeds are all about high press, you know, heavy metal football. So,
and this, good passing.
Yeah, and good passing. So it's like they're going to get outscored anyways. You might as well, you know, dive head first into that approach. So, you know, this is just another piece for Bielsa to play with. And I'm hoping he does well because, I mean, this is, I don't think he's the first Dominican in the Prem, but he definitely is one of the trailblazers. I mean, come on now. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, this is the road to Dominican Republic in the World Cup 2054. Here we fucking go.
Road to the World Series. That's where the Dominicans belong.
I mean, we make it there every year. So. Que lo que?
Papi, juega bebo.
Papi. You know what I mean? I would like to see him score a goal, see what celebration he pulls off. Because I know it's going to be some...
I'll bring out the plata, no?
The Osuna. You know what I mean? Something like that. Yo, but what you think, Kareem?
I mean, he never got first... He never got settled into Barcelona.
Yeah, $14 million, which again, I think like, is high. When Barca bought him. Oh, Barca?
Yeah.
Checked out.
Anything above from, 20 would fit.
I remember he came from Real Betis.
He did? We can check that, but keep going. I'll find that out for you.
I think this is a good signing. Well, they paid $18 million for him, so not bad. But I think it could, for Leeds, it's just a fun club to watch. So I think this is a fun player because he can dribble. He's a left wing back or a left back, whatever they put him at. So I think it's a fitting transfer for him. Well, I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, Rio, what does this mean for Barcelona?
You know, like, well, he just didn't fit at all, to be fair. Like, as Crim said, he never got settled. You know, Jordi Alba was always ahead of him. He'd just be a backup. And personally, I think his performances were just suspect. I saw a lot of Barca fans just criticizing, saying he doesn't play that good. It was, like, same thing with Jean-Claire Todibio. Like, both of them were signing just, like, young players to come and be backups and stuff like that. You know, they're pretty young, but I never saw them, like, truly, like, breaking into the first team with their performances.
Yeah, good point. Well, I mean, I hope that this is, I hope this is the start of something good for him. And maybe at Leeds, he becomes that attacking fullback, maybe even transitions higher up the pitch to midfielder or whatnot. And, kickstarts his career, shows a couple of young Dominican boys that you can make it out here. So that's really it for the transfer sheet. Boys, what was the best transfer on the sheet? We'll say that. We'll ask that.
Messi for the pre.
That wasn't on the fucking
It still counts. To be honest, it's the Aston Villa or the – it's between Leicester, the Leicester business, the Dortmund business, the Aston Villa business, to be honest. Yeah. So, Donnie, Danny Ings, Leon Bailey, or Samari. Those are pretty good signings, to be fair. Those are just both sides.
A lot of good business there. Well, with that, let's move on to some of the discussions you have set up for today. So, you know, me, Rio, Kareem, we're all about the, you know, I mean, we'll wear football kits out, you know, when we're out with the club, you know, we're out hanging out with the boys. So we like to wear nice looking kits, you know what I mean? And really this year, in my opinion so far, has been a little bit disappointing, but there's a couple of kits here that I've thought are good, a couple bad, a couple controversial. So I asked the guys to go ahead and bring today some good kits, some of the bad kits, some of the controversial kits, some to talk about. So let's go off. Let's do a round and let's name a good kit. Rio, what did you bring today?
The Venezia FC kit.
Fuck. All three of them. All three of them are so good.
We have to call.
We can all three get a home, away, and a third, bro.
I think they're sold out right now, actually. I was checking.
They're so fucking nice. The black and gold with the... Oh, my God.
Like, ridiculous.
Oh, my God, bro.
Ridiculous looking kids.
It's ridiculous. The black and gold one is unbelievable. Kareem, you have a... Or are we, actually? We're going to hear from... You got a good kit?
I like Inter's.
Oh, yeah.
Snakeskin.
Yeah, the snakeskin away one. The white away one. So good. I actually had that under my controversial one because I didn't know how I felt about it. I was leaning more towards good, but I like it a lot. I like the snake design on it. I think it works.
I like it too. I think it's like unique, but it looks good too.
Yeah. Yeah. Not wrong for sure. One of the kits that I liked, which I know it's tough for me to admit it, because they're obviously Premier League rivals. I actually really like the Man City away kit. That's the white one with like the pearlescent letters on it. I like it because I like the kind of like colors on it, but I also love the numbers on it. I know it's meant to be because of the Aguero tag they have in the collar where it's 93-20, which is the time that Aguero scored the goal for the title. But I like that numbering on the back of the jerseys, and I love the way it looks on the players because the shorts are fire. The shorts are so nice, bro. So I fuck with it. I really like that.
I really rate the Ipswich Town.
Let me search it up.
By an Ed Sheeran jersey.
Oh, oh my God. What is going on? So what any other kits, Rio?
I got a couple more to tackle. I was actually thinking Arsenal's away kit.
Yes.
Oh. Arsenal's away kit.
Yeah, it's like a kind of like a, I don't know how to describe it. It's not neon yellow. It's kind of this weird yellow.
Oh yeah, yeah. That kind of like it's like faded banana, not faded like highlighter, but like I see it. I actually like the Arsenal home kit as well. Arsenal always have great kits, but like I like the fact that on that kit that you're talking about, it's like yellow base, but it doesn't look ugly. And then the trims around the sleeves are like that navy blue and red.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that Adidas, they did it well. I love it.
I like it. I like it.
I also think the Roma away kit is really nice. I think it was your away kit like last season.
Roma away kit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's nice. I like that collar look. And actually, one kit that looks exactly like that, and I have on my good list as well, is obviously the Liverpool away kit.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. I think it's a good kit, It's probably, if I were to cop any of the Liverpool kits, I'd probably go with that one. Mm-hmm. But it's a nice kit. I always like collared kits, bro. Collared kits are always nice.
I agree.
Look classy. You can wear them outside and shit. They look nice. But Kareem, you got some more good kits.
And you can wear it to dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have any other
kits? I kind of liked Chelsea's.
Chelsea's home. Wow.
Which one? The home one or the away?
I like the home.
The yellow black one.
That one's okay. I kind of like it, and then their third too.
I didn't like Chelsea's kits at all, but I think to be fair, it's mostly because of the sponsor. Like, the sponsor is a big part in it, and I just hate the fact they have a fat ass three.
Oh yeah, I have no idea what that meant. I just thought the sign looks cool.
Yeah, it's like some UK sponsor called 3UK. Yeah.
It's a terrible sponsor.
Well, sorry.
But it works. No, it's all good. I thought what'd you guys think of the Frankfurt home kit? I thought it was nice. It's like,
I didn't keep it.
It's like a black and red kit. Really, really, really nice looking.
Any black and red kit's just nice in general.
Yeah, there it is. Okay. Yeah, it looks
yeah, nice. That's a really nice kit. Yeah, that's a really nice kit right there. I enjoy that look.
It's a collared kit with a nice little red stripe down the side, black.
Yeah, that kit's beautiful.
It's nice. It's sexy. It's cool. And then the last one I had on my good list was just, and actually this might actually be my favorite kit this year. Search it up if you haven't.
Mm-hmm.
But the Newcastle away kit is unbelievably hot, bro. Yes, yo, you have it up, bro. Look at the Newcastle away kit real quick.
I'm looking this up. Away.
Oh wow! Oh my god, bro! Look at that.
That's really nice.
It's like black and gold. The trim on the top is white. Oh my!
Bro. Yeah, that's pretty fire. I enjoy that look.
It's so nice. It's so nice.
I also thought the Real Madrid kit just looks nice. The home kit.
Madrid always. Yeah, I mean, Madrid is surprising because usually if we were to do these almost every year, I would have, unfortunately, I would have a Madrid kit. Obviously, I'd never buy one. But Madrid always kind of show out with the kits, especially, I mean, one of the best kits all time, right? Mm-hmm. Has to be the 2015 Dragon Black kits, the pink kits.
Mm-hmm.
Those are, you know what I mean? But I will never buy one, you know? So
okay. I have gold kits. I'll give you one.
Yeah. All right, I'll take it, but I won't buy one. So Madrid showed out. I think, what was the last time they had an orange kit? It was like the 2012, 2011 season.
Well,
yeah.
Oh, so those kits are beautiful.
Those kits were nice. Those kits were nice. So they had good ones. All right, Kareem, Rio, finish out your good list and we can move on to some bad ones.
I'd say Barcelona's away kit, the purple one. I like that one a lot too. I think it actually looks pretty decent.
Oh wow, that's like a baby purple.
Yeah, that's why I fuck with
that. That's a really, I don't know if that color's, obviously it's probably been done before, but I don't think I've ever seen that color been done before.
Yeah, it just looks really nice.
I like the fact that
Wolves goalkeeper kit. This shit's beautiful.
Yeah, I like the fact also really that they changed the badge color.
Yeah.
So, oh wow, that is,
I'll take a wank in it.
Hey yo.
Yo. Hey, that's enough, bro. That's moving on to the bad. I had to start again with my own club. Funny enough, most of these are third kits. Actually, all of them are third kits for me, but the Liverpool third kit I think is terrible. It's the yellow and red one. I don't know why Liverpool continue to make kits with the mustard yellow and the red. It looks like ketchup and mustard mixed together. It's awful. And please stop making kits of that color. It's like, it's genuinely pissed.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
I think I forgot to say one good kit though. The PSG kit. The PSG kit.
PSG home?
Nah, they're the one that's a pink and it's like pink and white. That is
really nice. Wow, yeah, that's nice. Yeah, that's really nice.
Their other kits are like whatever to me, but that one right there was a standout.
That's cool. Yeah, I mean, PSG always show out, but that's definitely a nice one. That's definitely a nice one.
The last honorary mention has to be Hetafe's third kit. They supporting, they chose pink to support cancer. So we gotta include that.
Shout out for sure. No, and it looks nice too. Definitely looks nice.
Another wanker kit has to be Watford's home.
Hey, I said that. It's hideous. It looks like a bumblebee.
Well, I mean, that's what the name of the team. I don't think it's that bad, honestly. It's like the point of the team, though. They're called the Bumblebees, you know? So
I mean, I guess that makes sense.
I don't even know if they're called the Bumblebees, but, like, they're definitely always going for that. No, I agree, though. It's definitely a bad kit. I don't know if you guys have seen it. This is maybe one of the worst kits all time, bro. Search it up. The Tottenham third kit.
Oh, I saw that one already. That one looks terrible. I think, like, all the Man United kits look terrible, too.
Karina had a hot take about Juventus.
Yeah, their home one. Okay. I didn't like it just because I think that's what the refs usually look like. And I thought that was kind of dumb. Like, that's kind of confusing, but I'm also, I don't know.
Makes
I don't
a really point. Know. You make a point. You make a point, actually.
I like running around. Like, I don't know.
I guess I can see it.
They don't wear that in soccer.
Another kit I had on there actually was the Juventus third kit. The Juventus third kit was terrible.
Oh really? I didn't check that one out actually.
It was not good. It's
what is that monstrosity?
Yeah, it's so ugly.
That has to be the worst kit I've ever seen.
It's so all over the place. And the crazy thing is that I think the design is actually good. The colors just don't go at all. They don't bang.
No, like, the design looks terrible too.
Nah, I think if you did that, say with like a blue and a dark purple, for example, like, it wouldn't be terrible. But it, like, this is just awful. Like, this is generally awful.
It just looks terrible in general. I don't think you can even help that. That genuinely is going in the hole. Like, you just burn that.
Sucks.
You burn that.
And another kit that I don't like. These kits, it's not one kit. It's like a trend of kits that came out this year from Puma. And the designs aren't terrible. I just hate it. It's all of the third kits that replace the badge with the name of the club. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, search up the Man City third kit or the Dortmund third kit. Or I believe AC Milan as well as third kit. They like just take off the badge and put just the name of the club. And I think it looks terrible. It looks terrible. So.
What is that?
I don't like that. Even Man City has it as well. Milan has it as well. And it just looks.
Oh, yeah. That's actually a kit. Ugly.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I thought that was a concept kit, but it's like, no, like, they're actually replacing.
That looks like a fan kit.
Yeah. Yeah,
that looks like the little fan kits that you get for cheaper. Like, you're the kits are like 90. That was like 40.
Shirt, yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh my god,
that's awful.
That looks fucking atrocious.
Yeah, it's like bad,
how do you get that second kit, that away kit that looks god tier? Like, it literally looks amazing to that.
Like, the away kit is so nice.
My god,
it's such a travesty that they messed up the third kit. And then before we just open up to any kits, I want to talk about one controversial one. I want to know what you guys think, because honestly, I don't hate it. I don't love it. It's definitely very out there, but it's the Barcelona home kit with the flag patterns on the actual shirt.
I think it looks kind of mid.
It's like, I could see people who love it. I could see people who hate it. I just don't really know where I would put it.
Their home kits have not been good for a minute. Like they need to get back since, to that, like,
since the horizontal one where they switched it up, mm-hmm. every kit since has been like, it's not
terrible. It needs to be vertical striped, like, goodness. And that's when the club was banging, to be honest, bro. And also,
I know last year's was kind of a return of form because I like how the piping in the middle of each stripe was gold, but like, it's just, there's been no good Barca kit, like, no 2011 kit.
Yeah, like, they need to get back to their roots, bro. Like, what are these kids?
Yeah. So, like, any other...
I don't think it's a bad kit. I don't think it's good either.
I don't think it's terrible. It's not the worst kit in the world, but it's not, like... I guess the idea was funny. Like, the idea was cool or whatever. But, like, really? Like, you're going to be playing Messi-less football in these fucking shirts.
What? Oh, shit.
You know what I mean? It's like, at least look good if Messi, if the football's not going to be good. At least look good without a good football. You know what I mean? But maybe this is the reason Messi left, bro. I don't know. Maybe
look at the kids and started crying.
I can't believe
it. I can't believe it.
Those niggas are giving him a standing ovation. Like,
bro, like even bro. some of these like concept kits are better than people made. Like look at that. I'm actually going to share my screen here in the chat that we have. I'm actually going to show you guys this kit. Tell me this kit isn't sexy. It's like a black, red, and white, and the golds on the sleeves.
It looks a bit confusing, to be honest.
I think it looks nice. I think
it looks fire.
Yeah, I think it looks nice. I think it looks nice, bro.
It's a different direction, but oh my god.
Black, I was trying to see your other tabs.
Yo, chill.
It willingly shows him.
All that canvas.
Yeah, this might have to be the first episode that's a video format, man. From the beginning with the
kits.
We might have to.
I'm putting in my
2 weeks. but yeah, any final kits you guys want to talk about them before we sign off?
The clean sheets kit.
We're gonna have a kit. Yeah.
We're gonna make it white with drops.
That's the creamy collection.
The creamy collection.
That's for family and friends only. You gotta pay extra for that. You know what I mean? So we should
voucher to an Asian spa as well.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Damn. That's on you, bro.
No.
That's fire, bro. That's fire. Well, shit, I guess that's it. No more kits you got to talk about. Any just news updates? Whoa, a lot of toe licking going on. Yo.
I'm just trying to get him away from me.
That's a good That's point. Not how you do it.
That's not how you do it, for sure. Well, I think that has to be it then, boys. Just a quick little episode. After the last episode was probably like our biggest, it was definitely our longest episode. If you stuck through those 80 minutes, you're a trooper. Again, good to be back with the OG crew. You know what I mean? I always love to be here with the boys, Rio and Kareem, and another one down in the books. I think we got the PL season review coming up soon. It's going to be a big-ass episode. Again, me and Rio have been talking about it, so.
Maybe a two-parter. Who knows?
Shit. So, big things coming. Hope you guys stay tuned. And
Kareem, can you get closer to the mic and do that?
Do what?
What he was doing.
Do it.
Well, boys, thanks for stopping by.
Yo, oh my god. What was he doing? Jesus. But yeah, I want to, since we have a little bit of time, I want to definitely give out some shout outs to some people who have been showing support.
Shout out Mono for always coming through.
Definitely shout out James, shout out Rami, shout out, we've had a lot of Roberto as well. We've had a lot of constant support on the IG, you know, even Mono. So definitely shout out a lot of those people that have been showing a lot of love on the IG. And Suzanne, shout out Suzanne as well. Shout out Suzanne, Sarah, who just graduated. Big props out to her. And shout out Andres, who just graduated. But that's enough of the shout outs. We just crossed actually 100 all time downloads. So, again, thank you to you guys who have made all of this possible. It's been big. Yeah. Big appreciates on that for sure. But, you know, I think that's it. Thank you, Ari, for showing up.
Got you.
Final episode.
Is it? She kind of outclassed you today, bro. You were not on your shit today. You were not on your shit. The one time where you're not playing poker during episode and we thought we actually had your attention, you flopped, bro.
I tried to tell him.
You flopped, bro. You flopped.
You hit nothing on the river, bro.
That's facts. You were waiting for the flush and it didn't come through. But I think that's going to be it. Thank you guys for showing up once again.
It's been an amazing time, and thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. This has been The Clean Sheet, and we are...
Bye.
Ow. That's it. Wrap it.
Not to interrupt anything, but Kareem.
Hey yo, what's going on here?
We'll sleep that out. We'll sleep that out. I didn't see that then.
Hey yo,
why was my video on? I didn't turn it on.
Hey yo.
Good shit. Now it's just gonna be me and you, bro. Nice. He literally left. I'm like, yo, buddy. It's odd.